The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is July 11th, 2016. Go out to www.fiorellobarbellco.com. Check out the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. 10 paragraphs. It's a free ebook. Just download it. Give us your email address. You won't get spammed, and get started. Also, strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. If you like what we talk about on the show, if you like someone that is doing everything in-house, you got it here. So both are reasonably priced, and both will help you out immensely, and you can always contact me at FiorelloBarbellCo.com or FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. I'd help you out with anything I can help you with, so check those two products out. Also, go out to www.motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast. And before I bring this gentleman in, Bud Jeffries, I'm telling everybody, go out and look at all the shows I've done with Bud. You know, we had Mike Gillette on today. We had Wade Johnson on yesterday with Eric Gutman. I don't know anyone out there that's got the kind of content we got and doesn't charge for it. I think that, you know, anybody that's got lots of questions or is just getting into this stuff, it's a hell of a way to learn, and everybody on here is just outstanding, and they bring a wealth of knowledge to the table. And what we're trying to do is we're building a repository of monster knowledge here, where you're not going to find much of this anywhere, and especially all the guys and girls on here. If you know anything about the show, everybody who's on here does what they talk about. You know, it's not somebody that's read an article and said, well, this is how you got to do it, and they got no means. They've never done it. It's fine to read stuff, but you better be able to put the rubber to the road. So check that out on motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. Well, today we got a good friend of the show, Bud Jeffries, is on with us. He's on with us monthly now, and we're going to talk about, before I give you a little information about this gentleman, we're going to talk about combinations and courage. Now, if you go out and you look on anything on Facebook, you're always going to see Bud doing multiple things, matching things up, doing things very unorthodox, and, you know, that's what we do here. We love that kind of training. I think it's the best bang for the buck, and we're going to get into that. But let me give you a little information on this gentleman. Number one, he's a strength coach, author, motivational speaker, minister. He's a business owner, obviously, entrepreneur. And he's really one of the only handful of professional performing strongmen on tour in the USA. So, Bud, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Hey, Eric. Thanks. Glad to be here again, man.
Absolutely. Anything I missed? Websites? What's going on with you? Put it out, and we'll start the show, if you would, please.
Yeah, you know we're always on Facebook under my name, Bud Jeffries, on Twitter, on Instagram, all under my name, and then also our website, www.anunconventionallife.com, and that's how we're living, man. I just love to do things the way nobody else does them. And
I second that. I think it's a good way.
Yeah, well,
and you know what else too?
Because I do that because I want results nobody else gets. And you got to do different things if you want different results. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting different results. Well, you got to do something different. And you want a different level of results, you got to do different things.
Yeah, and you know what the big thing is too? You and I both know, you get bored doing the same things all the time. Then the next thing you know, you got a problem or you got an injury or whatever, or, you know, you see so many people drop out. That's what, you know, when I first saw you, obviously, that's when you did the 1,000-pound squat, you know. And I had been doing dead stop stuff prior to that, but seeing that too, and then the completion of it and all that, and the, you know, you're starting to see more and more unorthodox moves that you're doing, and it's like, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're a student of strength, the stuff's going to interest you no matter what. And when we talk about combinations and courage, those two things go hand in hand together. Tell me some of the combinations that, first off, tell me why you like doing combinations, because I think people out there got to understand why we do these things.
Right. Well, let me break it down to two different, I mean, they're, okay, this is a deeper subject than, you know, than we can cover in a short period of time. There's a ton of stuff to actually talk about, but let's just, for simplicity's sake and for time sake of what could be possibly talked about in this time period, let's talk about two different ways of doing combination exercises or combination sets. Okay, so you've got the yep. sort of traditional way is doing would be two exercises back to back. Okay, that's a combination. That's a superset if you want to come from the bodybuilding lingo or whatever. So that's a, you know, a combination of say you know, squats and deadlifts together, or like I like to go with a lot of heavy lift and then movement based combinations.
Yep.
And I'll tell you one of the big reasons why. Is neurological patterning and efficiency. Okay, so that sounds like mm-hmm. a big word for meatheads to be talking about, and and people who look at me on Facebook and all that stuff, you know, they're like, oh my god, who is this monster who trains outside all the time and he doesn't even wear shoes and what's wrong with him, and oh my god, and he scares the neighbors and blah 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 blah, and yeah, whatever. Listen, there's a lot more intelligence going on than it seems like when you just watch somebody knuckle up and lift, you know, a heavy, heavy weight. And it looks like it's a physical only thing, but the mentality behind what's going on is so much deeper than people give it credit for. And everybody who is world class at strength is there. Everybody yep. who I've ever met, and I've met a lot, I mean a ton of the legends of strength, okay? I mean, some of these guys are on my speed dial, and the rest of them I've met throughout travels and different things and stuff or whatever. Every one of them, even though they look like an uncaged animal of some sort when they're deadlifting 900 pounds or squatting 1,000 or whatever, every one of them is so much more thoughtful than you think they are in mm-hmm. the way that they approach training, in the way that they do things, that you would be shocked when you actually sit down and talk to them.
Yep.
And talk to them in a way that they're open about training, and that they really talk to you about what's going on and why and what's happening, and they're always thoughtful about how they approach training and how their form is on a lift and why it's set. Everything is thought out, and everything with us is thought out the same way. It just looks like a psychotic redneck who tears the world. That's kind of the point. You know what I'm saying? I want you to think.
Yeah.
That I want you to see the combination of absolute physical ferocity, and then when you see that, I want you to step back and see that there's a plan behind it. So when you see me or a guy like me or a lot of us guys lift, what you're seeing is you're seeing a barbarian on the battlefield, but what you're not seeing is the general making the plan behind it.
Absolutely.
What I'm saying, and it's always that plan is always there, that thought process is always there. So the combinations, okay, for me, break down in two ways, which is a basic combination done back to back. And like
yep.
I said, neurological efficiency. So let me give you what I think is the simplest example or reason why to do that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You've always heard people in sports and people in martial arts talk about, well, those guys lift weights, but they're not very strong in what we actually do. They're muscle bound. They're not efficient. They got super strong with that, but it didn't help them punching. It didn't help them become a better football player. It didn't help them become a better blah, 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 blah. Why? Here is one of the reasons why. Now, generally, that's just baloney, okay? I mean, if you
yep.
generally, that's just totally baloney. That's not any way you get stronger, doesn't make a difference. What it is going to make you better at whatever you do. But here's the catch. You have to actually practice the thing that you do, okay? So
mm-hmm.
pull a strong man in and throw him into a jiu-jitsu ring with a guy who is nowhere near his strength in weights, but is light years ahead of him on technical ability, playing by a specific set of rules in that way. The strong
yep.
guy won't be very strong comparatively in the positions he needs to be strong in, and he won't have the technical ability. So there's the match of what's being compared is you're actually comparing apples to oranges. Technical
right.
ability and applying positional strength versus just general raw strength. Now, most of those guys will be so much raw stronger than anybody else has thought about that even a technical guy will a lot of times have problems with him if the guy has any little bit of technical ability to defend himself. Now, if you can take a 300-pound guy who can deadlift 800 pounds and stick him in with a 175-pound guy, and if the guy's never seen a jiu-jitsu match and has no idea what's going on, it'll be about 60 seconds before the guy's choked.
Yep.
Because it's a different physical set of games. But you take that 300-pound guy who deadlifts 800 pounds and you condition him so he can survive and then give him some skills,
yep.
now you've got problems. Now you've got situations. And here's the upper level and reason why to do those combination things, okay?
Yep.
Found this out. Paul Anderson was doing this 50 years ago out of pure intuition, and nobody understood why. They just thought it was a cool, unconventional way to do training, okay?
Yep.
What they found is that neural patterning happens when you mix patterns together, okay?
Yep.
So
yep.
meaning this. Every time you lift something, every time you do a movement, you're training both the physical ability that you have, the muscles, but you're also training the nerves, and you're making a pathway in the brain so that the body remembers that and then is more efficient at doing that the next time that you do it. All right?
Yep.
So if you mix them, you begin to make those patterns together in the brain, and that's when you actually get stronger in a more complete, more specific way at what you do. Now, what you can't do in neural patterning, okay, is use specific patterning. So this is why weights in sports doesn't work, okay? Can't throw a weighted
yep.
football and get better at throwing footballs. Can't throw yep. a weighted baseball or swing a weighted bat and get better at the specific pattern. But what you can do is mix your actual physical strength stuff in a superset or a combination type set type thing that we're talking about here,
yep.
okay? Mix it with very specifically a strength exercise and your movement or your specific sport exercise. And what you're doing then is teaching the body. In other words, you've given the body a fresh lesson. The body just learned
yep.
that, okay, now I can squat 500 pounds or I can squat whatever, blah, 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 blah. Okay. And I immediately after begin to do whatever your movement patterning, whatever your specific sport patterning, whatever your, you know, whatever. So for me, I like to do like heavy bag type punching. I like to do combinations like strikes or that kind of thing because I want to be very efficient at like a martial art type movement or a physical type movement. So I'll go directly from a strength move to a balance movement or directly from a strength move to a combat type movement or a conditioning movement or whatever. And what I've done is taught my body that all the power I just built, all the nervous energy, all the nervous strength, all the hip extension from like squats or deadlifts or the shoulder extension and whole body extension from an overhead press. And I
yep.
took that and poured that directly into the mix with the pattern of, say, a punch or, say, a fluid movement or whatever. So what I've mixed those two patterns and I've given my brain a brand new cocktail to work on so that I'm actually strong in the specific things that I want to do. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's and the whole point of that. And when I say Paul Anderson was doing that, okay, Paul Anderson was using strength mixes 50 years ago, way over 50 years ago. Okay.
Yep. Yep.
Meaning he was, if you look at his actual training, he was doing essentially in a lot of it what bodybuilders would call giant sets.
But yep.
He was doing it more at a powerlifter pace. Okay. So he wasn't necessarily doing like a bodybuilders use giant sets, which is like four exercises back to back to back. And do it for speed or not, they're not necessarily – when I say do it for speed, they're doing it without rest because they're looking for a pump or looking for that kind of – they're looking for the physical build or looking to, usually to burn fat or something along that line because that's an extremely dense way to do – essentially that makes a giant circuit. It's just a giant circuit working one particular pattern.
Yep.
Anderson was doing it with a strength work and – taking three or more exercises and focusing them all directly on building the main exercise he wanted to build.
Right.
Okay, so for instance, he might do bench presses and follow that immediately, or he might do, say, overhead presses, depending on which one he was looking to do. He might do overhead presses and follow that immediately with lockout overhead presses, then go immediately to bench presses, then go immediately to one-arm presses. So what is he doing? Okay, He's taking whatever the first exercise, that's the one he truly wants to build, and
yep.
he's using the things we would call assistance exercises, okay, today,
yep. Yep.
and doing them in set combinations. So before he goes back to his major exercise, he does one set of each of the other exercises, and then goes back to his main exercise. And his theory was, and this has been proved out now, okay, that by doing that, the exercise I think that is an assistance, it is actually building, making me more efficient at the primary exercise I want to get better at. Okay.
Yep.
And so in doing them together, I'm actually teaching the body to work together versus doing them all of your strength work in a one particular area first, then going to a separate set of exercises, a separate set of assistance exercises. So mixing the neural patterns together, I believe, and I think Anderson was definitely proof of this, and I think some of the science proof is out there now, that this may be a more efficient way to actually build strength or actually get your assistance exercise to carry over to your main exercise. Certainly, I think I've proven, and other people are proving now, that it is a more efficient way to get your main strength exercise to carry over to your sport-specific exercise, which is more what I'm doing. And then you actually get the nerves to work together. So what does that mean in the context of what I've talked about or the example I gave of, oh, you're strong, but you're not good at combat, or, oh, you're not good, you're
right.
not a better football player, okay? To make it sport specific, you are literally getting the nerve pattern of the sport mixed directly with the strength of what's going on. So, okay, like one of the things they teach, and I don't necessarily subscribe to this idea, but it makes for a good example here, is like in Olympic lifting for athletics and strength, they talk about triple extension, which is extension of the ankles, knees, and hips,
yep.
all the way up, okay? And that's a pattern that really gets used in sports a lot. When you jump, that's triple extension. When you throw a punch, it is a type of triple extension, that kind of thing, okay? And so what yep. we talk about is when you do triple extension exercises, you therefore make yourself better at that. Well, think about doing this. This is triple extension exercises mixed directly with the specific thing you want to get better at. So your body has a fresh, right on top of it, nerve opening to open new pathways with and to mix together. So, okay, it's essentially this. Say your punching power on just an offhanded number scale, just to get the idea of what's going on, is 500 pounds.
Yep.
And you do squats and presses to add to your punching power, and they take it from 500 to 550. But when you do squats and presses mixed directly with punching, so that not only the physical strength is built, but the nerve strength is built together with them, instead of going from 500 to 550, you go from 500 to 600, because not only does the actual muscle contract harder, is stronger, has more total potential, but the nerve direct force directly in line combined with the strength that you've already worked with now goes directly together. So instead of getting, you know, plus 50 pounds, you get plus 100 pounds.
Yep.
And now, so now apply that sort of numerical example across whatever, you know, whatever sport, whatever thing you're doing, whatever deal you're working on, it's more specific to whatever it is you want to work on.
Absolutely. We're doing a thing now we're working on. It's pretty interesting because I've got a circus dumbbell coming here now, but we've started with a regular 2-inch handle. And I go over to the park and I got a whole thing mapped out. And obviously when you have the monkey bars and every other thing, you get very creative with your warm-ups. We can do the same warm-up we do here at my house. And I've got basically a circular walk on the lawn that is just a little bit longer than walking the Húsafell stone in Iceland. So what I've been doing, and I'm working with two kids, one kid and one older guy. We're using a 2-inch. It's not the Apollon. It's like the Apollon. It's one I got from Roger. It's a bull moose bar, they call it, and it's a revolving 2-inch bar, which is real interesting. It's a beautiful bar. It's 58 pounds to use. So we go there with a big dumbbell, we go there with a Husa steel stone, and we go there with the bar and the weights. We just load the truck up and go over, and we have a 16-kilo kettlebell.
Nice.
So what we do is we start the perimeter off with You know, we could be moving it every 15 feet, every 20 feet. I haven't measured it all. I know exactly the walk from Iceland. So we lead off, warm up good. You know, whatever we're going to work on with the monkey bars and the pull-ups or whatever we're doing, we warm the body thoroughly, and we spread everything out. So the first thing we'll engage is the dumbbell. So you're going to have to press that, obviously. We usually stay with low reps, 1 to 3s each arm. You're going to move as fast as you can, grab the Hoosa steel stone, front squat that thing. Now, that stone, this is the smaller one of the three or the four, same dimensions and everything, but I did it in a lighter fashion. So if we ended up manufacturing it, guys, younger guys and women could end up purchasing the stone instead of having one that's 185 pounds out of the gate. That's just not going to work. So you're going to front squat that at least for 10 reps. Stand back up on the 11th rep. You're going to take off, and you're going to move as fast as you can. You're going to put it down. Then you're going to do your bent rows with an oversized bar. So we're killing two birds with one stone. We're getting the grip in the beginning, the end, and the middle. At that point, the next guy is going to take off. But in the meantime, while you're waiting to go, you're going to grab a 16-kilo kettlebell, which, you know, that's 35 pounds. I know that's light. But when you're thrashing yourself that fast, round after round, I always was a big believer in that because I like to do that in between squat rests a lot of times for two reasons. It gives me a chance to be preoccupied with something else, especially like you're talking about, you know, you go from a 500 dead stop to a 600-pound dead stop. That's a lot of weight there. That's 100 pounds between – obviously sets. So what I do, and then the second reason is I like the effect of it because it sets me back up mentally to go in and go after that big squat again. So this combination for us has worked like crazy, and we're going to start filming it because it's very interesting. And what it's also doing, Bud, when we talk about the courage end, I've got my own selfish reasons here too. It sets me up mentally for Iceland. Because I'm going the same trek. It's 55 steps approximately around the sheep pen in Iceland to complete the 418-pound Húsafell carry. One guy here, we've been doing it for 3 weeks now, and he wanted to drop some weight. He's already dropped, and obviously he's not eating a high-carbo diet like he was before. He's already lost 12 pounds, man, in 3 weeks.
Right. Right.
And this style of training incorporates that. And one thing I've always found, and that's what I want to ask you next, because I know it's a basic question, but there's going to be people scratching their head with this. I found that this type of training, especially what we're doing now outside, number one, you know, I train outside all year round. It doesn't matter if it's 20 below or up here. It's like, I think we're probably hotter than Florida again this week. I don't know why I don't move to Florida. I mean, it's absolutely, dude, it's vicious, man. Last night when I trained, I was like, I had a headband on, a do-rag on, just, you know, around my head, and I couldn't see. When I'd get done with sets, I'd have to wipe my eyes because the sweat was literally in my eyes. But that's another thing. But what I do find with this type of training is something I love. And I know you're talking about when we hit the nerves and the way we're firing, you know, mentally, because that's what I'm going to get right to. When we're doing that stuff with those implements alone, and believe me, they're not going to be implements to be using light. They'll be modified with what you can go for the day. But what the main thing I find is it makes me very, very aggressive, very, very eager to do it. And these combinations of using the big dumbbells and the Húsa steel stone and the big, thick, oversized barbell, obviously, the bar, that I'm a big believer in, obviously, visual. Because let's face it, if you walk onto that field with me, you're going to see those three things plus the kettlebell, and you're going to be like, shit, man, we're going to have some fun today. You know, I've got a stone that can go, even though it's the smaller one, and believe me when I say smaller, it's no disgrace. That thing loads to 450. You and I both know from lifting stones, how many guys are lifting a 450-pound stone and having to trot it, you know, let's just say 25 feet. There's not many people doing that, especially after you've pressed stone, front squatted it, run with it, and then you got to do a bent row with it, and then finish off with the, you know, the kettlebell swings to go in between. So that's what I want to ask you. What did you notice? You know, you've been doing this a long time, like myself, coming from the standard power lifting that you used to do. Mm-hmm. What did you find more than anything this stuff touched off on you, mentally and physically?
Oh, you know what? Standard, okay, and this is nothing against standard powerlifting, all right? These guys are awesome, and I would still do a regular combination if I was going to go for a 110% absolute, yeah. Let's kill it, I hope I don't die from this max on a lift, okay, in the rest and set combinations that a normal powerlifting setup would do. But
yep.
This is powerlifting on, you know, meth with spikes driven to your feet. This is like Jed Johnson would like to talk about. This is powerlifting on meth with standing on while doing it while standing on broken glass. I mean,
oh yeah.
This is here's why. Okay, what you're attempting to do is the same type of physical strains that a powerlifter or a bodybuilder or a strongman would do. And here's how that is. Okay, you're doing low rep sets with the dumbbell so that's top end strain, okay, that like a powerlifter would do, or a strongman for a max event. And then you're doing an extended strain in a heavy weight with the stone. So that's like a strongman or really like a bodybuilder would do. So if a bodybuilder does 15 rep sets of squats, or if you pick that stone up and carry it around, it's a similar time under tension, which is not something I really even subscribe to, but you get the idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then you're doing it like an endurance athlete would, with a lighter weight, but with a high reps of swings or snatches or whatever. And I do a very similar set of patterns on a very regular basis, mixing I'll do light kettlebell or dumbbell snatches and just smoke them between heavy weights and that kind of thing. And here's why, okay? Life doesn't come at you with 5 minute or 10 minute rest periods.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
You don't. Yep. You don't get to, you know, you don't get to rest in the normal way. This is taking something that's already hard and making it 10 times harder, either way you look at it. Okay.
Yep.
So either way, if you come from, say, the kettlebell world, or come from, say, more the CrossFit type world or wherever, where it's not heavy resistances, but it's super high rep conditioning resistances. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then you throw in that absolute max end strain in the middle of something like that, or you come from the heavy lifting world where it's all heavy lifting, but it's a lot of rest in between, and there's not a lot of high rep lighter stuff in between, and you start mixing all of those together, well, now you've got a super time efficient workout that makes either one of those better in the end. Okay, so
mm-hmm.
If you get great at doing really light high rep stuff super fast, throw in something that makes it harder in the middle. Okay.
Yep.
Max something out in the middle of what you would normally do, and then when you actually go back to testing that lightweight stuff on a regular basis, you'll be smoking through what you think it'll be way easier. You've added another full dimension to what the body is capable of, and here's what I found with that, and the same thing applies with the heavy lifting. You want to get better at heavy lifting in a quick way or in an easy way, or you want to stop spending your whole life in the gym with a 9-hour session of,
yeah,
you know, whatever.
BS.
Go quick. Go fast.
Yeah.
Like I've almost always, unless I'm just taking a leisurely day or I really do want to try a max on something or whatever, I've just added this sort of mantra to my workouts. There is no rest. There's
yeah.
no rest between sets anymore. We don't do that. We don't. That's not how I roll. That's not how I do things anymore. Everything is set up so that, okay, I'm moving as fast as possible, or I'm constantly moving one way or another. Now, that could be at multiple levels of intensity. For instance, I mix back and forth between hard levels of intensity where I might do, you know, say a lift, but in the course of a 45-minute workout, I've walked continuously for 45 minutes, maybe with a
yeah.
weight vest or maybe with a light sled or something like that. But every 5 minutes or so, I stop and hit a heavy lift or something along that line. Or I might do 2 minutes of like super fast, intense burst, and then go walk for 5 minutes, and then go right back and then do two more, you know, 2 minutes of like a real conditioning thing where I might do, say, punches and snatches or punches and stone carries or something like that, and do it as hard as possible for 1 to 2 minutes, drop it. And instead of just sitting there, you know, well, if I don't have to lay on the ground and puke or anything like that,
yeah,
I'll walk. So I, what I'm getting is continuous movement for my entire workout one way or another, and then you can do it in the way that we're talking about here, which is either the combinations I've talked about or the combination you're talking about where it's fast-paced all the time. I'll tell you what changed my mind on this is watching wrestlers train. Wrestlers are always training at a fast pace because their whole sport is about conditioning. But they're all so big and strong, okay? Yep. Most of them are very muscular, very strong, because they're training those muscular capacities. And people are going to say it's aerobic, anaerobic, blah, 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 blah. But I don't even care about that terminology anymore, okay? If it makes you breathe hard, it's aerobic in some way. And if it makes your muscles strain hard, it's anaerobic in some way, one way or the other. Just carry it out as long and far, as hard as you can go, and you'll be in great shape and stop worrying about the little individual pieces. But in doing that, you start breaking these mental chains of ability. So, I came in from the powerlifter background, all right, this is awesome. I got the best education in heavy lifting you could just about get, okay, almost. I mean, I got a tremendous early education in lifting because I fell in with guys who knew how to push hard, who knew the actual techniques on lifts, okay? When they taught you how to squat, they weren't joking around. They actually didn't know how to do it versus, okay, I'm a trainer at blah, blah, blah fitness or whatever, and let's do squats. When you have no idea why different joints should be here or there or why your stance should be there, these guys actually knew the reasons and why and taught me how and that whole thing. But I came from that, and some of this is a little bit in the team setup for powerlifting. So if you've got 12 guys all doing squats at the same time, it's going to take a few minutes between sets. And a powerlifting meet is like that. You're going to have, squat, and then you're going to wait a little while and squat again because you've got 10 or 15 people between you. Everybody's taking their attempts. It is a little bit sport specific, but it's also a little bit, okay, this was fun. It was super hard on the actual sets because I learned to work super hard on actual heavy lifting, but at the same time it was – there was joking around and, shenanigans and stuff going on. And by the end of the workout, there was beer and lots of other stuff going on that, that old school powerlifting from 25 years what really was and that kind of thing. And I learned awesome. I learned to push incredibly hard on an individual set. Mm-hmm. But I also picked up a habit of, okay, now we're going to rest for 5 to 10 minutes between sets. And then I got into a different world of martial arts. I got into a different world of conditioning. I got into a world of I don't have time for a 9-hour long workout because I have, a job and things to do and stuff that happens. And I got into an idea of I need the cardio and I need the there's a whole nother world here. So it's awesome to be able to squat 800 pounds.
Yeah.
It's even better to be able to squat 800 pounds at the end of 5 to 10 minutes of sprinting through and your heart rate is super high and your breathing is super high and your conditioning is super high because you've done, say, kettlebell snatches between sets and you've done 20 to 50 reps of snatches between 5 or 6, 8 sets to get up to 700 or 800 pounds. And you see what I mean? There's a whole nother level there.
Yep.
And it's what I think the ancient guys were doing in the way that they do because their life forced them to be in super high condition because they had to fight and they had to work and they had to do all the things they could do. And they had to be superhuman strong at the same time if they wanted to live and survive and do the things that they were. And because it was a culturally much more powerful thing to be strong at that time, that's what I'm looking for and wanting to be is a whole nother setup of this. I want to be as strong as any other human walking the planet, at least, as close as possible when you equalize for things like drugs and size and the other stuff you can't equalize for. I want to be as strong as any human walking the planet, but I also want to be it in phenomenal cardiovascular shape and phenomenal endurance shape so that, you're the strongest guy walking if you have 10 minutes to rest between sets if the car falls on – your foot or a loved one or whatever, as long as you're well rested, you can pick it up. Well, yeah, that doesn't work. When do emergencies ever present themselves at the best possible time?
No, not at all. And you and I both know that you got to be a react real quick. You said that right in the beginning of the show. Think about it. If you're on a train track and the train's coming, do you warm up with 50 reps or do you run your ass and get the hell out of there? I mean, that's the way it should be. You know, there's some things that, you know, I really like doing, and I've seen you in the past, and I've read a lot of stuff like yourself on Paul Anderson, but two things come to mind we do here, and I love taking a sphere and roll. Now, we're talking my driveway here, so it's 95 feet, so everything's marked off 30 feet. I usually do that at the last one, but I'll open up with the tire flip. I still think the tire flip is one of the top movements you can do for strength endurance, for sure, or endurance and strength, however you want to phrase it. I like doing that, going right into the farmer's walk, dropping them, and then rolling that sphere. And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, but for anybody that doesn't, anybody that's familiar with a bear crawl, picture a bear crawl with a 300-pound sphere. Your hands are on it, and you've got to be in that position and roll it. Not as simple as you think, because most people are rolling things that aren't perfectly straight, as in a paved driveway. Mm-hmm. When that thing's going left and right on you, let me tell you, that is one hell of a workout. And you want to talk about breathing? Holy Christ, because one rule we have here, like you were talking about, we don't care what's going on with you. I don't want to see you bent over looking like you're going to fall over, because to me that teaches the body weakness. Mm-hmm. Stand up no matter what. If you've got to walk a little bit, get yourself back, because the idea of this is to get everything moving. And, you know, we're talking about unison, about obviously the mental capacity to deal with this type of training, and obviously, you know, everybody finding out and knowing, you know, that we're setting this off mentally, neurologically, and this is what we want to build. We want to build like Bud's talking about. If something comes at you, you're not going to stand there and wait to warm up. You're going to be able to execute and move or react or whatever you got to do. And then secondly, I love, and I think it's a great conditioner, and this I really want to hear what you think about both of them, obviously, that power rack can be used as an endurance machine. I don't think a lot of people have screwed with it. Obviously, you and I do them dead stop. I mean, you can set up all different styles of training on a thing, whether you want to do 100 reps with 500 pounds or you want to do one rep with 500 pounds. You want to go from top, middle, bottom. You want to go bottom, middle, up. I mean, obviously, this is going to take, when we're talking courage, you're going to have to really have your head screwed on straight, and you're going to have, obviously, some years underneath you to start messing around, or you're going to have somebody coach you to do this. But I think right there, you want to talk about, all right, if you want to do a combination with it, we'll do kettlebell swings. Real simple, but you have the opportunity with a power rack to do amazing things rep-wise, strength-wise, endurance-wise, whatever. So what do you think about those two things as far as, you know, the tire flip, the farmers, the sphere, and then let's talk a little bit about the power rack, and we'll just talk about swings with it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those are some of the primary things that I've done. I mean, I keep a tire just to do tire flips. I keep a tire just to do, because I do think that especially when you learn to do it right, one of the most phenomenal strength and conditioners together. That you could, I mean, you know, if that was your primary odd object thing or your primary athletic, you know, transfer move, that would be a phenomenal one. And the combination of both strength and endurance together with that is freakishly awesome. And actually, it is much simpler than, you see a lot of people do it wrong. Really, it's because they have the wrong kind of tires a lot of times. They use little short tires, and when you use a tire that's tall, even if a lighter tire, you can find them. You just got to mess around and do the work to find it. You actually should have a tire most of the time tall enough to get your whole body down and get your chest and shoulders against the thing. It shouldn't be a straight up and down lift. Like most people make the mistake of making it like that, like a deadlift. It should actually be a combination of a squat and deadlift together, where you're driving forward and pushing through with the legs, and you can almost continue to run through like a sled. And it shouldn't be an overly bicep
movement.
Yeah, you're not trying to curl the thing trying to deadlift it and then curl it up at the top. And most people don't get the idea of using their, you know, it's almost like a power clean. You're doing it with your traps and with your hip extension and that kind of thing. Hence the reason that even big monster dudes can, you know, do an 800 or a 1,000-pound tire. You're not actually lifting 800 or 1,000 pounds, but you're not going to power clean that.
No.
You know, even the tilt, even with a tilting lift, you're not going to do a, and it's also a curl grip power clean. You're not going to do that. It's a combination move. It's just phenomenal. And I do like the, you know, anything that gets you out of unusual movements and allows you to load the pattern like that bear crawl, pushing, pulling thing. One of our buddies, Frank DeMeo, likes to do that. He has a little, he has a bag that's filled with like water and stone, so it'll roll. But it doesn't.
Yeah.
It's not like a hard stone where it'll actually roll and you can push it. Like you have to continually push this thing. And
yep.
They'll do bear crawls pushing that, or even bear crawls going backward pushing that, or that kind of thing, which is, again, phenomenal move. Anything that gets you a moving, like a bear crawl type movement, a crawling type movement with a loading pad, and that's a simple, almost impossible to hurt yourself kind of a thing.
Yep.
And here's the thing with that. Tire flips, once you master them, relatively simple, okay? Farmer's walks, dead simple. Pushing the stone, difficult, but dead simple.
Yep.
Using the power rack in combination with stuff like swings, okay?
Yep.
Also simple and safe, and safe to push you into this upper-level territory. So this is what I found out from this the first time or two through, and the reasons that I do this, and the reason that I think this is such a mental deal or whatever is, okay, you want to talk about building some – you know, all right, the Russians call the kettlebell gyms the courage corner on military bases or that kind of thing, because it's that extended, higher rep, let's just absolutely suffer type of physical ability. And you really get into a place where I'm testing my outer limits of endurance, and that's painful. It sucks. It's not a lot of fun, but it teaches you where you can push and where you can go. And I think, what is it, Patton that said, fatigue makes cowards of us all, or that kind of thing?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The more time you spend in fatigue, okay, the better you'll get at dealing with fatigue. And you'll stop interpreting that as the utmost possible pain and begin to get through a little bit at a time at building this mental armor of getting through fatigue where you just doesn't bother you anymore the way it used to. And using a power rack along with a simple exercise, okay? And most people, the perfect place to start, it is something like a kettlebell swing and some movement in a power rack, and let me tell you why. Mixing a heavy tire with a heavy move in the power rack is kind of an advanced deal.
Yep.
Okay? You need to have the form down and the physical foundation laid. But you can do a single rep or a couple of reps set of something heavy to moderately heavy in a power rack and be completely safe and controlled in what's going on. And no matter what happens, if you fatigue, you just, the rack stops you. The rack is a spotter without having to be a spotter, having to have a live person. And you can do that in a way that allows you to work super hard and be safe versus here's how I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't do a super technically demanding exercise, or I wouldn't do an exercise where there was any possibility that if I failed, the bar was going to fall on me.
Yep.
And mix it with a conditioning exercise at the same moment, because especially until you really know your body, you don't know when that failure is going to happen.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You might think, and then all of a sudden, you know, everybody's had that thing, especially bench pressing or doing like a tricep type bench press where you do three reps, you're supposed to do five, but the fourth one just absolutely dies in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And you never know how that's going to go when you start mixing patterns until you get used to it, until you get a little bit of information feedback from the body. So starting with a simple setup of exercises in a completely safe and controlled way, so there's no way you can fall, no way you can, you know, be hurt by what you're doing, and mixing it with a simple, light, high rep conditioning exercise to start with allows you to start building that foundation of upper level cardio and strength combined, which is a whole another gig. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, you can take probably the best 5K runner in the world, and that's, you know, he'll crush most of us on probably not a huge squatter, but will crush most of us. But you stick him in the middle of that and then ask you to run run a 1.5K and then squat his max, you've got a whole nother type of strength that most people aren't even prepared to start testing. But you can build a foundation doing these things together, and that, okay, the kettlebell swing is one of the perfect exercises and a light exercise there because it allows you to be fast. It allows you to get high reps and high breathing, high volume of stuff done super fast, but it is technically and physiologically simple. Okay, and it spreads the stress a lot over the body. So there's something we haven't talked about there, but that's another way to think about this patterning, okay, is using a conditioning exercise that is very whole body. So, for instance, the kettlebell swing is a very – actually, people think about it as very back intensive, but it is actually a very whole body move.
Yep,
when you're doing
yep.
it right. When you're doing it right, it's spreading the stress really across a lot of places versus, okay, like a push-up or, say, doing a high rep set of kettlebell jerks or presses or whatever, which is very upper body intensive.
Yep.
Okay? So how you mix that pattern can make a huge difference in how fast you can go or how what you can do. So, for instance, staying off of the individual patterns that are very specific to each other is an easy way to get started there. The kettlebell swing is – you count that as really a whole body move instead of a back move. So it shouldn't be done in a way that fatigues your back, in a way that you couldn't squat or deadlift or press in between. But if you do presses and immediately start mixing a high rep kettlebell jerks or high rep one arm presses and push-ups, well, now you're fatiguing the same muscles from a max strength and a endurance strength perspective. And you got to really be ready for that.
Yep.
When you start. But if you did say barbell, you know, squats in a rack or whatever, and then did light push-ups or light, you know, or did high rep push-ups or light kettlebell jerks in between, well, now you're keeping your aerobic system super high from the high rep work, but you're not treading on the same muscles in exactly the same pattern.
Right.
Versus if you started off by doing, say, heavy barbell squats and in between you did body weight squats for high reps and went back and forth with that, again, that's an upper level, more advanced technique, and you got to be a lot more prepared. Same as if you're going to do max squats or deadlifts and then do tire flips in between. That's another
– oh, yeah.
You know, so start with one move, mix it with a very general move, or mix it with a move that doesn't interfere with the muscle you're training for max strength.
Yep.
And then you can begin to experiment and going from there and experiment with it. And it is another place to test, okay? So what you can press fresh versus what you can press after 10 minutes of working as hard as you can and building up your presses, but at the same time doing push-ups and high rep presses between your max presses,
yep.
That's a whole nother situation, you know, versus it's a whole nother thing. Again, you got multiple levels of what can I lift fresh? What's my endurance like fresh? What's my endurance and strength like together? What's my endurance and strength like together when I test broad-based capacities or when I test my whole body versus when I test a very specific part of the body? What is it like when I add multiple heavy sets between or multiple endurance sets in between the heavy lifts or whatever? There's a ton of things to build and test. All of it builds phenomenal mental strength as well as a faster, more powerful body that's capable of doing things in totally uncomfortable and totally unpreppable situations, which is
absolutely. Go ahead. Finish your statement.
No, well, I mean, that's what we're looking for. That's what we're looking for is not just being prepared to, you know, and here's the thing. A lot of people are going to say with this, okay, well, yeah, but you're going to give up your max end strength. Actually, only for a moment.
Yeah,
you're not really. You're not. Once you get used to this, and once you once you actually get in good enough shape to do it after doing it for a little while, you're really not. You're really not. Okay, and so even if you do, okay, by doing it in a super speed based and a conditioning based format like that, where it's back and forth between heavy lifts and conditioning and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Even if you are say 10 to 25 or whatever pounds off your absolute maximum deal, but you're still hitting a heavy lift, you're still, you know, 90% of out of your 100% or whatever. If you all you have to do if you want to hit that absolute max again is just drop the, you know, rest a little bit like you normally did.
Yeah.
But okay, so what? So if you can train at 90% and still be in superhuman shape, I'll take that.
Absolutely.
I'll take that.
And not only
than being super strong and having no conditioning.
Exactly, and you know damn well you're going to catch up with it. It's just you got to get past the psychological deal or the ego deal going on. But I'll tell you another enhancement out of doing this stuff is, depending on how many days you're working out a week, or you like to go out, like this afternoon, I'm going to go out in the back and I'm going to go and just do some Apollo and Axel hand thigh deadlifts. Not heavy, just fool around a little bit with them. I'll also probably do something else, maybe go in and do some – I can go in and just do some heavy calf work, something like that. And what this stuff does to you, it makes you eager to constantly get back in there and work and work and work. And we all know, as you keep building this type of endurance and this the mental capacity to take on more and more, obviously you're going to be able to go many more days. You're not going to be, you know, getting the overtraining syndrome. And obviously, if you got to pull back a little bit, you pull back a little bit. But the ability to handle bigger and bigger loads, I mean, isn't that why we got in the lift in the beginning? What did we get in to be able to just squat 300 pounds, or do you want to squat 500 pounds? You know, did you get into this to build a bigger mental capacity? Maybe not when we first started. Maybe we didn't understand the whole thing. But anybody that understands this type of training, you want to get as mentally big as your body, and I'm talking, we're looking at the outside of the body. I'm talking between the 6 inches between your ears. You want to get that mental capacity to be able to burn, because everything's going to run through your head, man, no matter what. And you just said it before, you want to try to hit everything from head to toe,
right?
Because then it distributes through the body properly, instead of, you know, look at, I like the old school bodybuilding. I'm not a bodybuilding fan, but I'm talking in the days of York and those guys, all right? The real guys that could not only bodybuild, they could put sacks of grain over their head or flour or whatever they're doing. Very rugged looking, very strong individuals. Obviously, the power rack came in, well, it was a little bit before Hoffman, but that's where that got all the notoriety with Bill March and such as that. But the thing here with what we're doing, which is similar in a lot of ways to different things I've read in the past, we already talked about Paul Anderson and who couldn't, but the ability to handle more to me is what this is all about. And if you love this stuff the way we all do, you want to get better with it. You want to learn combinations. You want to see what combinations work better with others. How does my body react? How do I think mentally a day after this? And what can I do to improve? And that's what it's all about. You know, when we talk about courage, Bud, it's like this. It takes balls to go out and do things nobody's doing. Let's face it. Because most of the people are going to put the wall up in between you and give you 100 reasons why you can't do it or why you shouldn't do it or it's unhealthy for you or blah, blah, blah. You got to turn that noise off and shut it away. Get rid of it, because you're never going to learn how to really learn you and your body. And I think that's the most important thing. It's the weights and everything are great, but you learn about yourself. And if you can learn about yourself and get a handle on it, then you have the capacity to go out into the real world and do great things, in my opinion. And I think I love the weight room. Believe me, if I didn't have it with the last 3 years with everything with the businesses, I probably would have cracked. Literally, there's just too much happening all the time. There's a lot of problems. This is just stuff that goes day to day with everything. But the weight room established the get up and go, the never say die, as you'll hear, the ability when things are tough, you don't lighten the work, you put more work out. The ability, you know, people say to me, oh, you ought to take a vacation. You haven't been out in 3 years. You know when I'm going to take my vacation? When you hear we've got 1 million listeners to Motivation and Muscle. Then I'll take a vacation, and maybe I can relax for a week. I don't know. My big vacations are coming in three things: Iceland, Scotland, and Spain. That's my three vacations right there, which I hope to have completed within 2 years now. So all this stuff whittled and put together is what equals not only the courage, but these combinations which make you far superior from, as we always say here, the one-trick pony. You know, that's what I want to do. I want to be able to lift until I can't move anymore. I don't want to be a guy at 40 years old, broken, where I can't do anything anymore. I got friends of mine, it's funny as hell, and I'm sure you do too. They just, whatever it was, you know, they'll say family or kids, or they just got tired of it or injury. And you look at them, Bud, I swear to God, they look like they never touched a weight in their life.
Right.
And then when you say something to them, this is what really grabs me all the time. As you and I both know, quicker people are very quick to point fingers at you. Like on the last show when that kid's telling you, you don't know how to friggin' press overhead because you got a bent back. Well, no clue. But they're quick like that. But, man, when you just go to them and say something like, what the hell happened, man? You know, and they'll give you a million reasons why not. But really the bottom line was, you know, like they say, did you lose your balls? That's pretty much what it was. But I'll shift it to you. But I just think that Lifton is the, for me, it's opened up so many doors mentally to me, so many things that I don't think I've ever would have realized about myself or been able to do, because it really expands not only physically but the mental thing. And when it gets down to it, you and I talk about this all the time, so does everybody else. And I'm not going to speak for you. You can comment if you want on it. I feel an obligation to help as many people as I can, because I've been very blessed here and we're doing some monstrous things and we've got the best crew in the entire world here on this show. And I just think it's a privilege every day to be able to do this. So I'll shift it to you, sir.
Well, I absolutely think that's true. I mean, the mental training capacity, I have said this 100 times now. Okay. Physical training is the fastest way to train your mind.
Yep.
Fastest way to force indomitable focus, to force focus. Hey, listen, nothing will focus your mind like putting 800 pounds on your back.
Hell yeah.
And nothing else will focus your mind the same way, like snatching a kettlebell for 10 minutes.
And yep.
Combining those things together, where you have to have intense momentary focus like you would for a heavy lift, as well as long-term suffer through it focus, essentially, for lack of a better way of saying it, like you would with that combination of endurance, is a whole
yep.
other thing. And when you do that, the reason I love this kind of training is it is so efficient in so many things. It tests so many types of mental parameters as well as physical parameters, and it gives you the ability to do all of it together in a time-efficient manner that actually, okay, you mentioned there are people having, you know, careers in strength and stopping lifting weights or stopping stuff or whatever. I think one of the primary things with that is we just literally overdo things. We don't do enough patterns. We work one pattern to death and don't do anything else. And then once we beat that one pattern in the ground, we just stop.
Yep.
And because we've so overdone that particular one that we're hurting so badly because we haven't done enough of the other ones, or we haven't done all the other stuff. Listen, all the stuff people talk about doing is important. Rehabilitative movements, prehab movements, stretching, all those things, yoga type movements, anything that gets you mobile, flexible, moving, balance, all those things. And as well as, I think the bodybuilding stuff can be helpful and in the right perspective, in sort of that old school perspective you were talking about. So
yep.
can the endurance movements, and so can all the different strength movements. This type of training, this combination stuff, allows you to put it together in a super time efficient manner and in a way that allows you to, over a lifetime, explore to do very specific large amounts of the patterns you need to get good at, squat, press, pull, and do
yep.
them in a way that you can do them on a regular basis, but you can consistently add new ways, new twists, new challenges, new things. So you're constantly building new mental pathways, new nerve pathways, new movement patterns, and you're doing it in a way that's constantly upping your conditioning. So not only are you getting stronger, you're getting healthier. And in doing that, you can explore so much stuff in such a small amount of time that there's never any way to really get bored, or never any way to really so overuse one particular pattern that you create a bunch of those type of injuries.
Yep.
And I think isn't that what we're looking for? So the setup here is I can be time efficient. I can be mentally building my mind as well as keeping my mind sharp. I can build mental toughness. I can build physical toughness in a way most people have never thought of. I can build high-level endurance so my heart works great and my health is good. I can build superhuman strength. I can build superhuman ability to move. I can build physical ability to really use in the real world, not just in a gym.
Right.
Do it in a way that keeps me lifelong exercising and working, and I can do it in a way that never gets boring. That's like 10 benefits in like 10 seconds of those things.
Yeah.
That's just the starter stuff. And really that doesn't include the intrinsic stuff of, you know, okay. A lot of this is self exploration too. I know what works for me. I'm beginning to learn intuition of what really works for me because I'm paying attention to the feedback I'm getting from my body, and I'm getting the courage to act on that versus act on what I read in the magazine. It's also getting the exploring How do I actually mentally react when I'm under stress?
Yeah.
What does my mind tell me 10 minutes into this? What does my body tell me? So that tells me, where do I need to work? Do I need to keep doing this? Is my body fine, or is it just my mind is hurting? Or which one of these, and where do I go? And all these things together. And it's a long, lifelong process of mental, physical, even up to spiritual building from this type of setup. And now you don't have to, I think all the other things are, if you do, these types of lifting or training in separated ways, that's fine. We're saying against that or whatever. We're just saying that once you kind of get to that base level and then start combining things and start doing things in a little more efficient way, as well as a tougher way, there's a whole nother level of life and vitality to explore. And this is that kind of walking around strong thing that Ken Leisner used to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Where not only are you super strong, but you're in great shape. So you feel good.
Yep.
You've got energy and you're strong enough to do anything that you even thought about possible. You can move well, all the things that really take you to a whole nother level as a human being. And we have to get to, when I opened the show and we started talking about that, I talked about two types of this combination. And what we've talked about now is the combining of different types of strength and conditioning together for the most part.
Yep.
In a couple of exercises. We really didn't even get to combining two actual physical movements together into one thing. For instance, like I'm goofing off and stuff I just posted recently. I'm doing I did a thing where I shouldered a sandbag and then pushed a car with one shoulder sandbag, held it on my left shoulder, pushed a car with my right hand. Or I did
a
one-arm handstand and then did a plate bench with my opposite hand. So that's actually combining two separate lifts or two separate physical movements and doing them literally at the same time.
Yep.
And there's a ton to explore there, and that can be explored very well, even in this format as well, where you're doing conditioning and you're doing strength together and you're doing all that stuff. There's just so much to play with. And as long as you're covering the basics in your workout, working them hard on a regular basis, take that time to play. Somebody asked me this recently, how do you do all this wild stuff and still work on the basics on a regular basis? But here's what I do. I always do a very small amount, one way or another, of squat, press, pull, movement, endurance, whatever. I keep those baseline all the time, and then I just simply open the door to play. I throw in new combinations in the ways we've talked about, the combining of two or more exercises together, or combining two or more movements literally done at the same time.
Yep.
I just play. I have fun. I relax about it, and not only do I want to build that, I want to build all of that strength that we've talked about and all of that ferocity and vitality in a fun, relaxed, playful way. I don't need to be, Mr. Jim Intimidation. I just want to be able to walk by that guy and laugh while I.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to laugh about. And another thing too, and we'll wind everything up, is this. I can never put the value on having your own place to train at. Like you, I did the gym for a long time. I was at a couple really, really hardcore good gyms in the day. But as usual, they get bought out by people who don't have a damn clue to even what a weight stack is. So that destroys everything. Eventually, both of them did go out of business. I knew they would, all right? But the luxury we got, and the reason why we can play like this, because think about it, we couldn't do the stuff we do where we are in a controlled environment. They'd boot you right out the door. We used to bring our own bars and stuff. It got to the point where the last gym I was at, because we were using the Buffalo bar and all that. Nobody had stuff like that.
Right.
So what the beautiful thing that we've got, obviously, is, you've got your equipment all over the place outside. You can go and step in anything you want to do it at any time of the day. Same thing here goes for me. It makes a difference, I believe, and that's what we are. We're being creators here. Mm-hmm. And to be creative, you've got to have the ability to get to the stuff. And that's why I just love thinking of new stuff, creating new equipment, whatever it is that gets the job done. You don't know at the time, it's an idea. But you know what? Ideas can blossom into huge, huge things. We've seen that all through history. that's where I'll leave it at that, bud. Summarize anything you want and give out your information and let me give mine and just hang on the line if you would, please.
You know what, guys? Go out and experiment, okay? Once you actually know how to do some of these lifts very well and you're confident with your form, okay, so now let's start speeding things up a little bit. Let's start experimenting. Let's just start pick one lift and one conditioning move and start working them together a little bit and just try it. See where you start going, and then that'll open this whole door for you. Man, I really could do what these crazy guys are talking about. I really could be as strong and conditioned as anybody on the planet if I just do the work. And I have all this stuff to play with, and now I can be super strong at the basics, and I can be super conditioned, and I can be super good at all kinds of variety of movements. My body actually can move and do the things I wanted to do if I just train.
Yeah.
So make sure you guys follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. It's all under my name, Bud Jeffries. Come see me at www.unconventionallife.com. We got new stuff coming out soon, and we're always posting new videos, new pictures of different workout stuff. And you want to see some of the craziest stuff anybody's doing or doing some wild ideas about what's possible in strength, well, that's the place to go.
Yeah, you know something, Bud, the thing is, too, I mean, like you do and a lot of other people that are associated with the show is, you know, to me, it's, you know, when you say unconventional life, you know, you hit it right on the head. I mean, everybody associated here isn't out to say, hey, I'm proving you this and proving you that. It's like we've got a certain way we like to do things, and we've come up with some great ideas. And the thing is, everybody's got a chance to jump on the train and take a ride on it. So it's really an honor not only to train, but it's an honor to be able to train. As I was going to say before, when you're talking about doing all these things, the word that comes to mind is longevity.
Yeah.
And I'd much rather be able to train I'm 100 years old than be some shooting star through the night, and by 35, 40 years old, I'm finished because I can't even bend over anymore, right? That, to me, great. Maybe you had your glory, but you know what? Names get forgotten pretty quickly. So I just think that's a great way. And before I give my stuff, what about Eddie Hall, man? 500 kilos in the deadlift, huh?
I would have never – I would have – if you had asked me 20 years ago when I – you know, when people were – when there was only a handful of guys ever who'd cracked 900.
Yep.
I would have never said in our lifetime you'd see an 1,100-pound deadlift, but unbelievable.
Nope.
Now
I'm wondering, I'm sure I want to see now what Brian Shaw is going to do. I think the gauntlet's been dropped now, man. It's going to be interesting too, with everything with World's Strongest Man and, you know, I don't know. It's pretty damn cool to see what's going to happen, you know, and you can never rule out Zivikas with anything. So who the hell knows what's going to happen with him or Hathor. So I love he did that. I think it's great for the sport. I congratulate him on that. And whether you like the stuff or not, I respect strength so much, man. It's just like that's what it's all about. All right, I know not everybody's capable of over 1,000-pound deadlift. I got it. But you know what? Be the best you can be and do the best you can, and you'll always be respected. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Go to www.fiorellabarbellco.com. Download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's a free ebook. Also, Strength Times Power Equals Success in the Winner's Circle. Same thing, reasonably priced. Go out, check them out. You want to make some changes in your life for the better, and we're going to have a lot more stuff coming out. Right now, we're working on some major things with the podcast show, and you're going to see some big changes in the websites and everything. I'm not going to say any more than that because I don't want to open my mouth until I see it there, and we'll have it all for you. So stay tuned. Let's see. FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Please give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten for everything. We thank everybody for that. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Bud and I to do, FiorellaBarbell@NICAP.R.com. And I'll leave you with these 5 things. If someone seeks you out in the jungle, the concrete jungle, or the gym, Never be afraid. That's what we talked about here. You know, courage, combinations of things. Share it with people. You know, there, we don't own the information. We do it. We come up with things. But you know what? If you can help somebody out, that's what really matters. And as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be the only person they come in contact with that day. Also, too, if you're going to lift today, bend, break, squat, press, pull. If you're going to lift stones, just turn them right into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel Crusher Stone says in Blood Red, domination, we are domination. We don't follow anyone's path. We clear cut our own. And as I say on everything I write now, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Dominate everything you do to the best you can do it. Obliterate goals one by one. Add new ones. And also to dent whatever you have. You know, we all have off days with training. The dent part is what's between your ears there in your head. Know that you're going to come back and crush it the next time, or if it takes you two times. But know mentally, set yourself up to win the next time. Also, too, no one's ever going to clip our balls. And as Russell Furr says, who's been listening to the show from the beginning and who's a guest on here now, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We will say that for the next 30 years, Russell, and I promise you, I thank you for that. Bud, super show, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you, my friend.
Anytime. You are welcome. You're always welcome here. Before I sign off, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And remember, tell 100 of your friends about the show, because if you don't, we're coming for you anyways. So, for Bud Jeffries, this is Eric Fiorello. Bud will be on with us in August, if you can believe, August 2016 already. Have a great week, and go out and do some combinations. And while you're at it, build some extreme courage. Thanks, everybody, and as I said, have a great week. We'll talk.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.